So I need your help today. When the going gets tough, anybody know the rest of that saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. All right. Everybody feel the energy of that this morning. As we do, I'd love to get your input, either unmuting online or texting or in the room. What journeys can get tough or challenging? When is it that life can get tough? What would you say? What are some examples?
Exams.
Yes. Yes, that can be very challenging.
Bills.
Bills, yes. Yeah, what was that?
Sickness.
Yeah, be very challenging.
Loss.
What was that?
Loss.
Loss, yeah.
12 years of schooling.
It's not done yet. Oh. Depends on what you want to do. Schooling. What other journey can be challenging?
Navigating career.
Yep, navigating career paths. And, physical limitations. Yeah, so real. What was that?
Grieving.
Yeah. Oh, so significant. Parenting. Yeah, amen. We have some support there. Yeah, relationships. Dare I say, church could be challenging. Yeah, something else?
I was going to say that.
Okay, yeah. Living in community with other people. Yeah, life can really be challenging. And I look at the season that we're in right now in the world, but especially I'm aware of what's happening in the United States, and I think the political situation. I don't remember a time when it was so hard to have conversations with people, even in the family, who happen to see things a bit differently. It's challenging. It gets tough. So when the going gets tough, other than just saying, well, tough people don't mind, what keeps us going? What keeps you going when it gets tough?
God.
Yeah, excellent. Other thoughts? What keeps you going?
I think stepping back from the challenge and getting refocused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, refocus. But stepping back can be really significant.
Music.
Yeah, can be very powerful.
Pastries.
It's good. I like it. It's good. Yeah.
Reward on the other side.
Seeing that. Yeah, encouragement from friends, I see. Remembering the purpose of why I'm doing the task. Very significant. I want to think a bit about this today, and especially this question of when following God gets tough. What helps us keep going? And so sometimes I find God to be a great strength, and yet sometimes I find following Him to be part of the challenge. When it is tough to follow God, what helps us keep going? I want to just pray and ask for God to speak and to work among us this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you that you have communicated with us. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us in truth. And so we ask for that work now. Father, each one of us have a different place where the journey is tough right now. Probably most of us have that. And for each one of us, we ask for your help today, that you would hear our prayer and be with us and help us in the challenge. We ask you to do that by your Holy Spirit through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title today is Our Victorious Warrior, and we'll talk a little bit about this drawing and a couple others in a couple of minutes. We're in Luke 22. Just a short segment of this, but in our journey through the Gospel of Luke, we'll be in Luke 22 today. So I invite you to have that in front of you. I will also have it on the screen. And you see a couple of links there to get the handouts, and there are also handouts here that I think you've had a chance or somebody will be by to share some of those with you. Just say a word before we read Luke, and that is, when reading the Bible, always check the context. A really significant thing to say, what is it that came before and what comes after? A really powerful strategy, so important. So I just want to think about that for this section in Luke 22 today. Before this passage, we see a number of things that say there are tough times ahead. that there were things that Jesus said that happened, says, you know what, there's a challenge ahead. And so Jesus had just led them in the Last Supper. And he told them, this is my body broken for you. This is the new covenant in my blood, meaning my death. Jesus said, I'm going to die. I'm going to suffer and die for you. And so it's a tough time ahead for him. Jesus said, you know what, one of you as disciples is going to betray me. You're going to lead to my death. He said to his disciples, Satan is going to attack you. He said, there are some challenging days ahead, hours ahead for us. That comes before this passage. Right after this passage, we see evidence of people who failed Jesus. Turns out his closest friends, the people who should have helped him, were actually part of the problem. So right after this passage, we see where Judas betrays Jesus, turns him into the authorities so that they can kill him. Right after this, we see the disciples say, oh no, this is a bad idea. Let's get out swords and start fighting. And Jesus says, that's a bad idea. I've already told you I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. And so they didn't understand. And then Peter also denied even knowing Jesus. Say, Jesus, who? I don't even know the guy. And then Jesus went from there to be mocked and beaten and led through a fake trial. So we're looking at a passage that before it, Jesus says there are challenging times coming. Afterwards, we see all these people who failed Jesus, who should have been there to help him. And right in between, we look at the passage we're looking at now. In this place of such trouble, what are we supposed to do? So here we are, Luke 22, starting at verse 39. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. So let's just take a little bit of time to look at these verses. The first thing is, Jesus went to his usual spot. And this is significant because Judas was going to come there too. He knew that Judas had gone off to tell the authorities, I know where to help you arrest Jesus when nobody else is around. And Jesus went to the very spot he knew Judas would know to come to arrest him. And so he's anticipating this. And yet, what's the first thing he says? They get there and he tells his disciples, pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. He's concerned for them. And he says, pray. And he doesn't oddly say, pray for me. He says, pray for yourselves. Pray that you won't fall into temptation. And then I love this personally because I grew up with this idea of a stone's throw, right? Easy to know how far is a stone's throw away. We have some sense of that. But that's literally what it was in the Greek. He went a stone's throw away. And Jesus prayed that he also did what he told the disciples to do. He prayed, and his prayer had this such a powerful phrase in it. He says, Father, take this suffering from me, this awful path ahead, your judgment, take it away from me. Yet, he said, not my will, but yours be done. This was the core of his prayer. Your plan, Father, not mine. Your will, not mine. And so then this angel appeared to him. It seems that the others didn't get to see the angel. Maybe because they were asleep. Maybe because he was a stone's throw away. In any case, this prayer, this angel came and strengthened him, and he prayed more earnestly. Continued his prayer, and then eventually he got up, and he goes back, and he finds his disciples asleep. And he says, why are you sleeping? And again he says, get up and pray so that you not fall into temptation. So this section has this at the beginning and the end. Jesus tells his disciples, pray that you won't fall into temptation. And in the middle, he prays. want to do something that I'm a little bit cautious about doing. And I'm going to tell you about a Greek word. And I want to be sure that I'm not saying that you got to know Greek to really understand the Bible, because I don't believe that at all. But I do want to say this. The more you know about the Bible, the more riches you'll find. So the more you know, the richer it becomes. And this is fascinating to me, this word for anguish. Saying that Jesus, being in anguish, prayed more earnestly. So here's your brief instruction in Greek. The Greek word is agonia, and this is the only time it's used in the Bible. But it looks like the English word agony, right? And the English word agony means extreme suffering. But you who know multiple languages, you know that sometimes there are words that look alike but don't mean the same thing. And this is one of those words. In Greek, what it really comes from is this idea to struggle to win the prize in a contest, right? It's an aggressive word, not a passive word. It's not a word that says, oh, this is so challenging right now. It's a word that refers to coming out in the second half of the football game and you say, we're going to win this thing, right? We're coming back at this. So one way I can show you that this is the case is, so there's a second Greek word that's the verb form of this, agonizomai, which means to contend, to fight, to strive earnestly. So here's a couple of the places where that word is used. Jesus said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. The same word, the verb, means make every effort. Don't suffer, right? It's not just suffer to enter. No, make every effort to enter. Paul uses it to say, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. It's a word of effort and striving and power through difficulty. In fact, Paul also uses it to say, fight the good fight. And those words, fight, are these words, fight the good fight. So instead of saying that Jesus was passively suffering and afraid of death, when it says Jesus was in agony, I'm convinced what it's saying is that Jesus was fighting to the death to do the will of the Father. It's a fighting word. It's a contending word. He was aggressive in following God's will. So Jesus wasn't a victim. Rather, he was consciously, voluntarily, and obediently following the Father's plan to save us at the greatest possible cost. This was not him waiting for bad things to happen to him and saying, I'll just try to do my best. This is Jesus aggressively following his Father. So the sweat like drops of blood, I think it's a beautiful picture of a warrior who is fighting faithfully until victory in death. His sweat was like a warrior getting injured in battle, fighting to victory. You see, there was this great question about Jesus' life. Would he be faithful to God all the way until death? And Satan said, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to interrupt that. I'm going to find a way to tempt Jesus not to follow his Father all the way till death. And his purpose was to be obedient to his Father, to follow his Father all the way to death, no matter how awful it got. And so how do we know if Jesus was completely obedient? And that is, if he was obedient until death. And in his death, we have his proof. He was obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was a warrior to the very end, not conquering people, but submitting to his Father. Right? This is the great victory. He never turned back from God's plan. He wasn't in passive anguish. He was in the aggressive obedience to say, this is my Father's plan, and it is tough, but I will never leave it. I will stand guard until the very end. And he did. And so we see that Jesus died on the cross. But it wasn't just dying on the cross. It was following this relentless attack from Satan to get him to go astray. It followed the failures and the attacks by his friends, the attacks of the people he came to save, and the wrath of the Father against him for our sin. Yet Jesus never once sinned. He never failed to love. He never became bitter against his Father or against the people who were trying to kill him, to attack him. He never once failed. And so when Jesus died, he died a victor, right? He died victorious in the greatest battle for the greatest victory. Jesus won. And in this passage, we see how he did it. He did it through prayerful submission to the Father. When he fought the hardest, he was fighting in prayer. And he said to his disciples twice, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." See, Jesus was doing exactly what he was commanding his disciples to do, saying, when it gets really challenging, pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. So the big idea from this, following God through tough times, comes as we seek his will through prayer. That's what it is to follow God through tough times. It's to seek his will through prayer. And so what we see, I think, in Jesus, that praying is a key means to know God's will, to know his desire, his plan, his purpose. And Jesus said, "Father, I think I know your will, but I have another plan I think would be a lot nicer." He said, "If you're willing." In other Gospels, he said, "If it's possible." But here he said, "If you're willing, let's pick another plan." And in prayer, he was reassured, no, this is the plan of the Father. This is his will, that you suffer a horrible suffering path until the point that you die. In prayer, Jesus knew the Father's will, and in prayer, Jesus accepted God's will. He prayed for a time, saying, if there's another way, but then, perhaps through the angel, he said, okay, this is the path, I accept it. And he prayed to have the strength to follow God's will, and the angel came to strengthen him. Following God through tough times comes as we seek his will through prayer, as Jesus did and as he told his disciples. So I think sometimes in our casual conversation, we think about a false choice. We could either pray or we could do something, right? And this actually comes up in my life a lot, because I tend to be productivity-oriented, checklist-oriented. You know, I'm the kind of person that adds things to the checklist that I've already done so I can check them off, right? There's real satisfaction in that. And so I get up in the morning and I think, I could pray or I could actually get something done, right? And to me, this, it feels like a choice, but it's a false choice. You see, we can only do what we're called to do through prayer. We can't do what we're called to do unless we pray. It's not a false choice. We need to pray and we need to act, and our acting has to come through prayer. So there's an amazing thing to see in this passage. In this passage, one person prayed and the other slept, right? Jesus prayed and the others fell asleep. And in the hours that followed, one faithfully submitted to the Father, even to death, and the others all gave in to temptation. The one who prayed is the one who obeyed. And if we try to do without praying, it won't endure in God's ways. It just won't be. We imagine we'll get started sooner and get more done, but we won't. We won't endure in God's ways if we try to do without praying. See, following God through tough times comes as we seek his will through prayer. Okay, so I've got a couple of drawings. Thanks to Karen for the help with this. You know what this is like in vehicles. If you get to drive or you walk, I was on campus 2 weeks ago, and I haven't been on campus a whole lot, and I had people asking me directions, and so that's good. I do the best I can, but it was part of campus I didn't know, and so I pull up my GPS and say, well, you could probably do this too, but you know, they were an extrovert. They would rather talk to somebody. I tend to be an introvert. I'd rather look at my phone. Behind the GPS is a MyPS, right? My positioning system. But with the global positioning system, I try to follow that above my internal GPS. I try to do that. Now, I confess that when we traveled to, we were coming back from Oklahoma, which we're going to be going again soon for Laura's wedding. We're driving back, and one of the ways to come back is to go around Indianapolis. And I was following the phone, following the map on the phone. And then all of a sudden, when we got close to Indianapolis, it gave these weird directions. It's saying, go take this road over here. And it's like, what in the world is that about? Why would I follow that over there? So I followed my internal GPS, my GPS that said, here's a better way to go. Turns out there was a lot of construction and heavy traffic, and that weird route was really the good one. Right? So there's this battle in me. Am I going to follow what the device says or do what makes sense to me? But sometimes this is what the car looks like. GPS is buried behind the soda cup, and it's my positioning system that's dominant, and sometimes we choose to do what seems right to us, for better or worse. Sometimes. But then sometimes this is what our driving looks like. That sometimes we're so distracted, we're not paying attention to anything telling us where to go, because everything else has our attention. So what I'm really interested in this is in our lives. And in our lives, I think this is where we often live. That what's guiding my life is my position system, my PS. God's position system, it's hidden behind the soda cup. It's hidden behind other things, right? And sometimes we just choose to do what seems right to us. But actually, often I think this is what our lives look like. We're just distracted, not paying attention to anything. We're just doing whatever presents itself to us next. And so here's the challenge, is to say, I want to know God's direction. And I'm convinced this is actually the real battle in life. The fundamental battle in life is God's position system versus my position system. So I'm going to make a claim, and that is that our greatest battle is not these things. Our greatest battle is not a world gone astray. As messed up as the world can be, that's not our greatest battle. Our greatest battle is not Christians who are deceived or wrong-headed. Although I listened to some podcasts, and it sure seems like that's what they believe. The biggest problem in the world is other Christians who are really messed up. But I listened to another podcast, and they say, here's the biggest problem in the world. It's people who are opposed to Christians and to Christianity. That's the biggest problem. And it's fascinating to think, what did Jesus pray when he was in a battle with Satan? Right? The real challenge is this battle of my will or God's will. That's the real battle that I face. Whatever else happens in the world, and there are important things that happen in the world, and there are real problems in the world, but the real battle is my will or his will. And Jesus is our model. He said to his Father, not my will, but yours be done. So another claim I'll make, following God when his way seems best is not really following. Right? It's kind of like telling my dogs, eat the food, eat the food. They're not following me. They're doing what makes sense to them. When we look at God and we say, well, yeah, what he says to do, boy, that makes a lot of sense, so we'll do that. That's not a bad thing, but that's not actually following. Right? Following God is when his way is more costly, and that is the way of Christ. To follow his way when I say, no, that really doesn't look like a good path. That's really following the way Jesus did. And that only comes through prayer. So we're going to just tell you ahead, we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer today, but I want to pull it up right now. And one of the conversations about the Lord's Prayer is like, well, this isn't really Jesus' prayer. This is the prayer he taught us to pray. Well, there's some truth in that. But actually, this is what Jesus prayed. So much of it, right? Our Father in heaven, Jesus prayed, Father. He invites us to talk to the Father the same way he did. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done. This is what Jesus prayed. To the Father, your will be done. And I'm learning to say when I pray this prayer, your kingdom come and not mine. Your will be done and not mine. And that's what Jesus prayed. Now, in this place, in this garden, Jesus said, your will be done and not mine. And these good words, give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts, which we desperately have to pray. And Jesus, not needing to, but steps into that and feels the weight of sin and forgives those who sinned against him. And then Jesus says, here's what you need to do. Pray, lead us not into temptation. And I'm convinced that's what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, don't put me in that road unless it really is necessary. And what do we mean by saying, don't put me into temptation? I think it's this. Father, protect me from whatever pulls me away from God and his will. Protect me from those things. We pray, don't lead me into temptation. And Jesus, in a way, stepping in with us, says, Father, that's a really hard road, and I would prefer a different path, unless that's the one you have. Jesus prayed, your will and not mine. And he said, pray that you won't fall into a time when you'll be pulled away from God and his will. Because following God through tough times comes as we seek his will through prayer. And to highlight this, we seek to know his will in prayer. To say, Father, what is your plan? What do you intend? we seek to accept His will. See, it's one thing to know His will and another one to say, okay, I accept that. And we seek to have the strength to follow His will in prayer. So some of the things that we know about His will. His will is to love Him completely. To love Him more than our money. To love Him more than our sense of security. To love Him more than the peace and relationships we'd like to have. To love Him more than all of this stuff. To love Him more than life itself. His will is to put others before ourselves. His will is to forgive when we are hurt. And to love when we are hated. And this is a time when I say, I'm not sure I want to accept that. To love when I am hated, I don't want that will. We need to seek to know, to accept and have strength to follow His will. And so maybe this doesn't happen to you. This happened to me. Sometimes that's why we don't want to pray. Because we're afraid it's going to work. We're afraid that we'll say, okay, you're right, God. I really do need to just completely forgive and not hold this bitterness anymore. Sometimes I don't want to pray because I'm going to know I'm being selfish right now and I'm calling it justice, but actually I'm just being selfish. Right now I'm saying it's wise not to say anything, and I should. And I need to pray to know God's will, to accept it and have the strength to do it. And this is where praying is very courageous. Okay, so I'll tell you a funny story. It's kind of a sad one. When I was in high school, the band director, this is Okemos High School, back when, it's now Kinawa Middle School. It was Okemos High School. Isn't that Kinawa now, or is it Chippewa? I can't keep them straight anymore. Chippewa Middle School. That round building, if you know it, over there, and there's a place out that was outside the band room. I can still remember sitting outside the door of the band room. I showed you my French horn case a little while ago. Everybody sits in the French horn case. You're not supposed to, but it's just such a convenient thing to sit on. I remember sitting on my French horn case outside the door, waiting for somebody to come and unlock the door, and I was praying. See, at the time, I was really upset with our band director. And so I prayed. And I was praying. I can't remember. There was a psalm that was a psalm of judgment. And I was praying judgment down on my band director. I'm sorry, but I really was. And God struck me there and said, really? You're praying down my judgment on the person in authority over you because you don't like them. And God changed my heart. I mean, I realized, what a horrible thing. I'm praying down the judgment of God on my band director in high school because I don't like what he's doing. And in that prayer, I thought I was getting God to do something I wanted. And God said, no, I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to help you to know my will and to accept it. And he really did in a powerful way that was completely unexpected. And I had no faith to pursue that. But mercifully, he did that. And so another example. And I've watched this and I've experienced it. We have people in our lives we don't want to love. We just don't want to. And so I think sometimes we're afraid to pray because we're afraid that God's going to say, yeah, that really is my will. And we're afraid that we're going to say, okay, yes, you're right. We really should. And we're afraid that he'll give us strength to enter into that journey to love. And we prefer not to do that. And so we prefer not to pray. And so I think sometimes we know the power of prayer for God's will. We're not sure we want it yet. And this is where we need the mercy of God. To say, he is the God who loves me more than anybody ever could. And he says, this is the way to go. And I need his help to know it, to accept it, and the strength to follow it. Application today is really easy. Well, it's easy to know. It's hard to do. And that is to pray. And what should we pray? We are to pray that we will fully submit to the Father. Right? He said, pray that he would protect us from situations that pull us from him. Say, Father, protect me from those places that pull my heart away from you, that tempt me away. And, he said, pray that he would strengthen us to remain faithful even when tempted. So I'll say this. It is good to ask God to consider our own plans. Say, God, here's what I think we ought to do. here's what I think you ought to do. That's what most of my prayer requests are. I don't go to too many and say, God, here's what I should do. I say, God, here's what I think you should do. And that's not bad to do. It's good to do that. Jesus did that too. But even more, he says, we should come and ask his help to follow his plan and not ours. So a way I think about this is if you happen to fly in a commercial jet and, you know, you're watching the flight plan and you've got another connection to make and the flight's taking longer to land than you think. And so you want to say to the pilot, let's just land this plane now because I've got a connection to make. And it's foolish to say, I'll just take over and we should just land. What we say is, could you speed this up at all? But do what you think is right, right? Do what's safe. Don't do this if it's a foolish thing to do. And that's how we ought to pray to God. God, this is what I want now. I'd like to make that connection. I'd like this to work out. But God, I want your will, not mine. And so the most important prayer we can pray is to ask for his help to follow his plan and not ours. And we see this model in Jesus, that the Son of God lived in dependence upon his Father, praying so that his work was in God's ways by God's strength. And if the Son of God needed to do that, certainly we do. So we are to pray. We're to pray that we would fully submit to the Father. We need to pray the heart-changing prayer that says, your will and not mine. And this is a work of the heart. And again, it's good to go in prayer and say, God, here's some things I want you to do. It's even more valuable to say, God, would you help me to do what you want done? And so I would say, you decide. When and where will you pray? In what form? I found that walking is a really good way to pray. I also found that walking where nobody can hear me is a really good way to pray. So I like winter when doors and windows are closed, and I can pray out loud. That helps me a lot. But maybe that's not you. Pray however helps you to do this. Right? What's the form, the time, with people, alone, whatever it is, but pray. Pray. Jesus showed by example and his command, pray so that you won't fall into temptation. And I think that's ambiguous intentionally. Pray, here's the content of your prayer, pray that you won't fall into temptation. And pray, because the effect of praying is it keeps you out of temptation. So pray so that you won't fall into temptation. By prayer, Jesus learned the Father's will, accepted it, and was strengthened to follow it. Jesus, the Son of God, entered into humanity such that this was his relationship with his Father. Now you go back, a very simple thing at the start of the story was Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives and his disciples followed him. Turns out that's what disciples do. And so let's follow him. And so I want to include just this significant thing is that we worship the Savior who is a victorious warrior, who is also compassionate and merciful. And sometimes I think Jesus, when it got hard, just pulled out the God card and said, oh, this is really hard, but I'm the Son of God, so no problem. That's not what we see. We see Jesus as a victorious warrior. We see him as the one who, being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We worship our Savior because he is the victorious warrior. He did win the battle. He contended to death faithfully and perfectly. And, as we've been thinking about today, who is also compassionate and merciful. He understands what the struggles are like. He knows what it's like to be tempted beyond everything that we know. And he always did it right. And so he is merciful. He is kind to us, and we can come to him for help. Jesus was victorious through this courageous prayer. In his humanity, his victory came because he fought through prayer. And he calls us to do the same thing. So I go back to the first question I asked. When following God gets tough, what helps us keep going? And that is that following God through tough times comes as we seek his will through prayer. Praying is the key means to know his will, to accept his will, and to have the strength to follow his will. This is how Jesus did it. So why should we expect anything different? So, as I said, I'm just going to take a minute to allow us to pray. And to pray as Jesus taught us. But before we do, I just want to raise this question. And I wonder, maybe we already know where the battle lies between his will and our will. Maybe we already know that. And we try to bury it. It's hidden. But maybe we know yeah, this is the place. When it comes to my money, nope, I'm just not. When it comes to my dreams, when it comes to my career, my education, whatever it is, my relationships, we say, no, God, that's off limits. I'm not going to deal with that. If you know that, then pray. Pray that you'd know God's will, you would accept His will, and that He'd give us strength to follow it. And maybe we don't, and I do think there are times in our lives we don't know. But Jesus said, and I'm convinced, His instruction to the church, you don't know what's ahead, but you do know you need to pray, because you need to pick my will and not yours. So either way, we should pray. So let me just walk through this. I'm going to pause a couple of times and just allow us a chance to pray in silence. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so let's pray. Your will be done. And give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And so let's pray. Father, lead us not into situations that will pull us from you. And Father, we ask that you would deliver us from the evil one. Our Father in heaven, we do give praise to you, and we bow before you as our God. And we ask that you would help us to choose your will and not ours, that you would show us the way, that you'd help us to accept that way, and that you'd give us strength to follow. And when we fail, because we will, we are so thankful that we have a Savior who's a victorious warrior, one who fought faithfully to follow you, to submit to you with everything attacking him, completely following and loving you to the point of death. And so we give him praise. And we ask for mercy to help us when we so often fail. And that you would change us through prayer and through action to be more like him. In his name we pray. Amen.